Hello, everybody. Welcome to Singapore Leo's podcast, a lifestyle podcast covering everything under the sun happening on this big blue ball of ours. So hang back, relax, because here we go. Hi there, everybody. Singapore Leo here. So today, for this episode of the podcast, we'll be talking about the state of coronavirus as of today, and where are we headed down the line. Well, right off the bat, I think I was reading an article today in the New York Times, which mentioned that China held off and gave some lead time for the world to respond, and the world screwed that up. I mean, that's putting it mildly. I mean, for all of the criticism leveled against the Chinese communist regime, they've got one thing right. Because of the very fact of their communist nature, of their being ruled by the Politburo, they were able to consolidate unprecedented, draconian, quote-unquote, action to contain this virus. Yes, it was flawed. I don't condone or condemn the communist system or any other system. That is not my place, in this podcast at least, to do so. But that particular system was in that particular geography was able to contain this very highly contagious dual strained virus. Now, that has not been, sadly, that has not been the case for other geographies. Other geographies now are just beginning to wake up to this virus's impact. To be honest, before I criticize and rant about the state of how the authorities and regimes in other countries are tackling this, I've got to talk about my home base here in Singapore. I mean, Singapore is usually known as a country with an OCD level of detail when it comes to cleanliness and harmony and the efficiency with which its government works. And to be honest, having been here for a long time now, looking from inside the glass outwards, I have to say, the Singapore government is always on point. They've learned from the SARS virus, and Singapore is so far the only country in the world where there has not been a reported death. And Singapore, of course, has very stringent fake news laws, that prevents panic and that prevents fake news from spreading in the society. And obviously, the third thing which they're doing right is that they have dedicated channels of message dissemination to the populace via WhatsApp, Telegram, etc., etc. These three are fundamentally the right things to do in a democratic society. And I think the Singapore government has done a great job in containing the virus, great job in starting their clean and Singapore SG Clean initiative, which is basically a certification for industry where they subscribe to a certain level of cleanliness. Of course, post audit, they get this certification. I think this is a great initiative, and I think Singapore was always known to be OCD about cleanliness and harmony and efficiency and transparency. And I think they've outdone themselves. So kudos to the government and people of Singapore. I think they have done a great job, and I'm proud to call this place my home. Of course, there are things which they can do better, but so far, so good. I mean, the neighborhood in which I live in, I mean, Singapore is located, is not faring very well. I mean, if you look at Malaysia, Malaysia hasn't fared very well. I'm pretty sure the cases of coronavirus uptake are going to increase in Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines. Why? Why do you think I say that? Because there isn't a very rigid testing regimen in place for those geographies. The Philippines, President Duterte just yesterday announced a blockade of Manila, of Metro Manila. I think 12 million people Metro Manila, for those of you who don't know, is a large city, just like a large metropolitan city, just like metropolitan Tokyo, where metropolitan Tokyo consists of many other sub-cities. So it's not just one city. Same thing with Metro Manila, millions of people crammed into multiple cities. And I, what my understanding from folks on the ground is they're putting in a plurality of controls, including citywide and metropolitan-wide controls for a month until April the 15th. And I think that is a little too late. The Philippines, I'm sure they don't. The geography surrounding Singapore haven't done a great job, except Taipei. So I mean, what I've heard is Taipei has done a great job. The fundamentals. From a subject matter expert, I don't know why I can't talk. Every time I come on the radio, every time I come on doing this podcast, I tend to lose my words. But I think the fundamentals of containing an outbreak, the contagion protocol, basically, they dictate a couple of things. One, utmost transparency with the population. That's number one. Number two, containing the spread of misinformation across the various channels which exist, whether they're social media, whether they're mass media, whether they're printed media. The third is a dedicated channel for dissemination of accurate information from the government, from the authorities. Now, these are the three major fundamentals of what any government needs to do to be able to, number one, recognize the problem and respond to it. I think the other fundamental tact that should be used, that is vital to be used, is making sure that you have mass testing, mass free if possible, but very cheap testing. Because what happens is if testing comes at a cost, like some first world countries, quote unquote, the US, if the testing cost is high, people who have symptoms and who can't afford that testing kit, they won't simply come forward, and they'll keep on infecting people, and the rate of infection will continue to exponentially increase. So the fourth fundamental is to make sure mass testing is available at a free of charge price, hopefully controlled by the government, and having drive-throughs where people can come in, remain seated in their car, in their vehicle, and get a swab tested, and the test result made available immediately with labs on the ready. That is the fourth fundamental. The fifth fundamental is to make sure that the healthcare costs for these are absorbed, that budgets are made available to tackle the healthcare costs that will come with this. Now, if you make the citizens pay for the healthcare for getting them out of the coronavirus infection state, people are not going to come forward, plain and simple. People who can't afford it, and they're going to keep on multiplying, and they're going to keep on infecting other folks. And that is the fifth fundamental. So these five fundamentals are very, very key in containing the outbreak of this virus in any geography. There are some countries which are doing this right, and there are some countries who are miserably failing at this. Now, these East Asian tigers, Taiwan, Singapore, they're doing great in containing this virus, owing to the technocratic nature of their government and the efficiency of their healthcare system, and in general, the transparency and the efficiency of their government, because these governments are less corrupt. The government processes are very transparent, very efficient. They have e-governments in place. So that's why they have excelled in containing this virus outbreak. Other countries like Thailand have not been so lucky. Thailand, India, population of 1 billion, they're just starting now to put a blockade in place with a very strict visa regime coming into play. So they're insulating themselves from this virus. I think insulation from foreigners, I think that is a myth. That does not... that does not contain the outbreak. That is just a cosmetic action which our governments take to show there for people that, hey, we're doing something about this, it doesn't actually help that much substantially. I mean, so it has to be a two-tiered approach when it comes to a movement of people. Of course, new social norms have to be abided by, for example, maintaining social distancing, making sure that you wear, you cover your face and your nose, you have hand sanitizer available to you, you disinfect your clothing and your shoes and the surfaces that you touch, making sure that you avoid large gatherings. So these are societal norms which have to be implemented, which have to be followed to minimize the risk, because in the end, we all are susceptible to getting this virus, because this is a zoonotic virus. It has jumped the species barrier from whichever animal who was the primary infectee, and then it jumped to humans because of contact or consumption or what have you. I'm not condoning or condemning again, but now it's here and we don't have a herd immunity to this. I think you've seen me, you heard me bitch and moan about this earlier, but that is really true, that changing social norms is going to allow us to be able, it's going to be painful. But thank God, we have the internet, and at least in most societies now have the internet, and so we have the capability of working from home. And this statement is going to be true, is going to be proportional to societies, but that is another thing which I think the governments of these countries can look into, is to make sure that and this is another poster child of mine, which is free internet as a basic human right, just like food, water, electricity, good healthcare, and a good education. So those are the fundamentals of the fundamental practices which have to be put in place for us to, for societies to contain this virus. Now let's turn to countries which are miserably failing to fail to contain this virus because of a multitude of geosocial, socio-political realities on the ground. The first culprit, the United States. Yes, folks, the most powerful country on earth, or at least the country with the most powerful military on earth, or more aptly, the country with the most powerful military that man has ever known, is not going to be able to contain this virus, just like the other countries which I've mentioned. Why, you ask? Because the U.S. has the U.S. healthcare system. U.S. is the only first world civilized country which does not have a state-funded healthcare system. They have tiers of healthcare, and of course, there is a very negative bias from the healthcare providers to people who have underlying conditions, which in this case are the people who are at the highest risk of getting coronavirus, because people who have underlying conditions, they have weak immune systems, and they are highly susceptible to getting this the virus infection, this novel coronavirus infection, and thus they are going to get infected at a higher rate. The U.S. testing rate, the U.S. has failed at all of those 5 points and pillars which I mentioned earlier, whether it's containment, whether it's transparency, whether it's clear communication, fake news, testing. They have failed at this miserably. So has the UK. So has most of continental Europe. Italy. Italy is just the beginning. So these countries had the option to contain this virus, but they were lax about it. They were blasé about it. Now they're going to pay the price. People are going to die. And I think this is a wake-up call for these quote-unquote first-world democracies. And I think there are going to be political ramifications of this. I mean, Trump is up for re-election, and his party has been against healthcare. Something tells me they are going to mold this narrative into a narrative of, look, open borders is a reason why refugees come in and bring their disease. So sadly, free healthcare or state-sponsored healthcare, which would ideally be the vehicle through which this is tackled, is not going to be a reality in the U.S. anytime soon. Testing costs are around $1,500 to $3,000 US dollars, just the testing, for ordinary folks. And whereas the plurality of Americans don't have enough savings to be able to do that. So I see a very bleak future for the U.S. I see North America in general, but Mexico, Canada, the U.S., mass number of infections. Europe, the same thing, mass number of infections, because they have open, they have the Schengen agreement in place, free movement of people. So that is going to be, that is going to exacerbate the spread of this deadly pathogen. Sorry guys, there is no, sorry folks, there is no positive news in this. But I mean, there's one good takeaway from this, in my opinion, which is once these first world countries see mass infections, we can hopefully see vaccine come up soon, which all of us living in East Asia and globally can make use of. I think that will be a good impetus for the world to react and overcome this issue. There is no way, there is no nothing stopping us from taking collective action, setting aside resources, I don't know, creating a fund, enabling the WHO. But the WHO, in my opinion, is a very corrupt organization which have failed to do their jobs. So I would hope they create a separate track through which they funnel resources and cash and capital to set up a central central vehicle through which they execute this mass vaccination. This can always be done. Mankind is capable of great things, and this is just a virus which we are able to easily, should we pool our resources together and coordinate and talk to each other and work with each other at a government level, be able to do. I don't know why, but that's the optimist in me in talking. So I'm gonna lose my voice, but I think we'll leave my opining on this subject for today in this podcast. I hope wherever you are, you stay safe, wash your hands, observe social distancing, make sure that you have the highest of manners when you go outside, wear your masks, hopefully, God willing, all of you will be safe. So this is Singapore Leo signing off for this segment of the podcast. I'll catch you on the next one. Until then, all of you stay safe. Folks, if you enjoyed this podcast today, please do check out our Telegram channel. Just open your Telegram app and search for Singapore Leo Podcast. Alternatively, you can type directly into your browser t.me/Singapore Leo Podcast. You could also check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/Singapore Leo. That's one word, Singapore Leo. Thank you, folks, for tuning in today. We'll have more great content for you in the next episode. Stay safe wherever you are. This is Singapore Leo. I'm wishing you all the best.